Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim, and our guest today is Joe. So Joe, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Okay. So yeah, it's nice to be here. I live in Marshfield, Massachusetts, which is we're about 30 minutes south of Boston. We're in a beach town and two small children and my wife. So I'm running a startup and living life however I can with my kids and my family. And so in terms of what I do, I am a co-founder and the CEO of a company called Espressly. And at Espressly, we make order ahead mobile apps for coffee shops. Like if you think of Starbucks, you know, same type of experience, but for coffee shops, not called Starbucks, of course. And we integrate with Square. So yeah, we get a lot of coffee shops out there that use our product. And, you know, there's so many more that we're looking to reach.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this company?
Well, you know, before we had Espressly, we were making mobile apps that people could order food and drinks in, but it was a marketplace app, you know, like you have Grubhub and Uber Eats and DoorDash. This was sort of before those companies really took over. You know, there were lots of wins, of course, with helping people order pizza and, you know, steaks and all that, and it felt great. But, you know, one thing that always seemed missing was, you know, really the opportunity for the restaurants that we worked with to really grow their own brand. It was about our marketplace app instead of their brand. And that really kind of made it difficult to have very close relationships with these restaurants. So it was during the pandemic, it was about March of 2020, where the Starbucks app, well, initially it was kind of a joke. Like people used to get a good chuckle, like, yeah, right, you know, people are going to order their coffee on a mobile app. You know, I'm going to order my pizza, I'm going to order my steak, and it's going to get delivered. But I don't ever see why would I need to save the 1 minute it takes to get my coffee anyway. So in 2020, we realized that it wasn't a joke. The Starbucks app was crushing it. And, you know, the big thing with coffee, if you think about it, you know, with restaurants, the Grubhubs of the world build software and then they sprinkle it to an infinite number of restaurants. It's free. You know, you can build your menu out and be on the Grubhub platform and they don't charge you anything until people order. In the coffee space, Starbucks has this amazing technology, but they'll never share it. So the advancements are occurring, but it's only for one brand. So it was during, you know, it was during pandemic that we realized that we could just use our existing team, use all of our experiences, all of our technology solutions that we really decided on with the prior marketplace app. We could just roll right into making white labeled apps for coffee shops.
Makes sense. So what is your pricing structure for the coffee shops?
Okay. So when we meet them and we talk with them about having their own app, we tell them that we'll build it, we'll get it approved and available in the App Store and on Google Play, and there'll be no setup fee, right? We'll take all the risk. We'll deal with the hosting. We'll deal with the actual developer accounts for, you know, the App Store and on Google Play. And, you know, if it turns out the customers like it and it's going to be fully branded in their name, then we'll charge them 6% per order placed in the mobile app. And that's exclusive of tips and taxes, of course. So, you know, if somebody orders a caramel macchiato and it's $7, we're going to charge them 6% of the $7, which I think is, I don't want to do the math, but is that 42 cents? I don't know.
So at 6%, like, are you still paying Stripe fees?
Well, in the apps that we compile and manage, most of them are integrated with Square.
Okay.
We've spent literally years advancing all the different API endpoints that Square has, because their engineering architecture it's just amazing. So all processing in the mobile apps are actually done using the Square seller's processing account, which is great because it, you know, on the customer credit card, it will say whatever their company is instead of saying Espressly from a brand standpoint. So the processing is still, they're still charged for that by Square. We don't collect any revenue off of the processing. So we only charge them essentially a commission, you know, a finder's fee on the actual items that are sold. So 6%. And we also tell them, you know, look, we want this thing to really work well. And it will work well. And we actually will do deals where we'll set the cap. So the monthly maximum per location might be something where it's not to exceed $199.99. So 6%, and that will accumulate. You know, if there's only a few orders per month, you know, that's it. There's a minimal fee to them. But if they get approximately 14 orders on average per day with an average ticket of about $10, mathematically that $200 would be, they would eclipse that and go beyond it, but we're gonna cap them out. So they have a fixed cost within their business. Instead of being, you know, commissioned on everything, we actually would rather, you know, settle on the fixed amount.
Makes sense. So in terms of your pricing structure, I'm assuming that there's probably like an upfront fee for you guys to go ahead and build the app, or no?
No fee. We do everything. We will actually, we'll send them a mock-up, two mock-ups. We create the images of what their app would look like. We create like a dark theme and a light theme, and we let them come back and say, you know, change this color, change that color. So we give them infinite customization ability. And at that point, they've paid us nothing. They've committed to nothing. We've asked them to really, you know, just go along for this ride. And if at some point they don't want to do it, they could just tell us that. And we get it approved in the App Store. When it's approved, it's available to the public, but it's password protected. So from the moment it's approved, you know, we don't want customers, their customers finding it. They might find a broken menu or incomplete menu. We populate the menu direct from Square. So a lot of times they're going to have like farmers market categories and things in there that the public really aren't normally seeing. So it's password protected. And then we work with them, and they need to, you know, disable certain categories or items, add category images so it looks right. And when they're ready to go, they just tell us to remove the password protection. We click a button in the back end, and then the app is fully available, like you would see the Starbucks app, you know, for instance.
That's awesome. So do you help like with the marketing strategy? I feel like, you know, in 2023, it's a big challenge to get people to download apps. Like you mentioned, it's like a Starbucks app, but at least for me, you know, it's a Starbucks Rewards, which gets me to download and use it. So do you guys help like, you know, with those strategies for your clients?
Yeah. You know, it's like the big thing with the Starbucks app is, you know, you actually know that whether you order physically in person at the counter, just talking to the barista, or if you order ahead in the app, you're going to get stars. You're going to get stars that ultimately get you a free coffee. And, you know, it's nice when you get a free coffee or a free muffin or something like that. I know I like free stuff, and I love coffee. So why not get free coffee? And with Square has Square loyalty. So it's a premium service that these sellers can subscribe to, and it starts at $45 per month. And when they subscribe to Square Loyalty, they'll actually see in their mobile app the entire loyalty program come to life in the app. So whatever they offer in terms of whether they call them points or stars, that's all defined in Square. That language will be used in the app. And they can either order in-app or order in-store, and all their points will accumulate in that single customer bucket. And they can redeem for the free coffee or the free muffin or whatever. So from a marketing standpoint, we really know, like, you know, we literally have customers that have ordered over 1,500 times in the mobile app, and in the app hasn't even been live for over 1,000 days. You know, coffee is truly a ritual, and it has to be right. So we've found that with coffee, which is unique, it doesn't apply to pizza and steak or sandwiches. This doesn't apply to restaurants at all. The loyalty component is actually really the biggest thing for these businesses. They have discovered that if they can deliver a predictable quality cup of coffee, that the customers, lots of them, will come every single day. So we give them marketing collateral, images that they can share in social media, that really, whether it's a QR codes or just basic language about the Square loyalty program. We know that once they start using the app, they're not going to stop. And if you have a loyalty program that's good in store and in app, I mean, it leaves nothing for them to really want beyond, you know, what the app has. So yeah, we have that. Square loyalty is great. And the Square team and their engineering stack is just, it's a real pleasure to work with for us.
Makes sense. So how many customers do you have today that are using your platform?
As of today, we have 42 different brands that are live, with approximately 105 locations. You know, so some of them are a single location, Some of them have 10, some have five. Yeah, so those 42, and we're doing approximately 25,000 orders monthly right now. And yeah, I mean, it's just one day at a time, one coffee at a time, one order at a time. And we have a nice pipeline because, you know, these shops that use Square, you know, they're looking for this, they need it. Which is why I appreciate you having me on here as well, because hopefully one of them will learn that they can have their own app.
For sure. So like, how do you market, right? Like you mentioned that coffee shops need it. And to me, it seems like a no-brainer. Like if you're a small shop, you're not paying for the app up front, you're just paying for the fees. Like, how do you actually market? Like, do you do cold calling, cold email? Like, what has been successful for you to this point?
Yeah. So this is actually Friday and Saturday coming up. There's a trade show called Coffee Fest. There's four of them that occur in different parts of the U.S. Throughout the year. I mean, if I go there, I might meet, you know, over 100 owners of coffee shops and have a chance to chat with them. And 90% of them use Square. So, I mean, it's like hit the nail on the head. Coffee Fest is a great time. You know, it's see a lot of the people that I know in the community. And yeah, so Coffee Fest, we go to the trade show. You know, we'll have, obviously there's plenty of leads to follow up on until the next show. It's sort of a flywheel in a sense that they've created. You know, we advertise as a gentleman, his name's Chris. He's a coffee shop consultant. You know, he's like a world champion barista, just a guy that is really, really dialed in. We advertise on his podcast, and a lot of these coffee shop owners listen. You know, these are a lot of podcasts about, you know, the inner workings of how to run their shop and keep the staff happy. We don't do any, you know, paid ads. We do some, you know, cold outreach, but, you know, with email, you really can't unless you have, you know, double opted in lists and all that. Otherwise, you're just kind of spinning your wheels. But thankfully for us, between, you know, because we're so targeted to this niche, and because it is such a passionate group of people, and it truly is a community, we have found that, you know, we've been welcomed into that community, and we look to be, you know, respectful citizens of that community and do our job. We know that there are a lot of software companies out there that make promises, but ultimately they struggle with delivery. And, you know, they hear one story before they're a customer, and then they become a customer and they deal with a different reality. We believe that, you know, again, because these apps are so critical to the operation of these businesses, we believe that if we truly do our job and we take care of these apps and we take care of every single order and we don't get distracted and we don't work on 50 different things, you know, there's massive word of mouth and you know, so we get a good amount of referrals. Yeah, so our marketing is very, very, it's very much dialed in. It's not a spray approach. It's very targeted, and it's very much built on the idea that, you know, it's okay to go as fast as we're going to go. We don't need to listen to all the noise out there of all of these companies that, you know, they're trying to become unicorns overnight. And, you know, we know what our job is. We know what we need to do. The team's happy. The team, you know, our morale, we keep it high. So, you know, that's our marketing. Our marketing really is, we just do our job, and we make ourselves known, you know, in the right places.
That's awesome. So what would you say is your revenue goal for 2024?
So right now, our monthly recurring revenue is $7,500. And we run an efficient business, and our total spend is, it's actually only about, it's just south of $12,000 monthly. So our goal in the next actually 3 months is to see our revenue exceed our spend entirely. And once we get there, you know, it's really an opportunity to take a breath, so to speak. We're here to do this for a long time. So we recently have been accepted as a Square partner. So we're in the Square partner program, and they're going to be doing some marketing of our product. And when Square markets, you know, they push it out to a lot of different sellers. You know, they have over 1 million sellers. In terms of our revenue goal for the year, you know, I would like to be in the black, of course. Beyond that, we're going to see what comes. We know that, you know, when you make a quality product, when you have a quality product that's a SaaS platform and it's offered to a community, you know, chances are that there's going to be a lot of people knocking on the door. So we're in a good position. We don't have any fires burning in the sense that we have the financial markets blowing up on us and we need to raise $3 million the next year or we're toast. So yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity. We would like to do some hiring, of course. We are actually going out to talk to some angel groups and different, you know, individual investors. We would, you know, like to raise $1 million. We think that that would give us some fuel to, you know, continue our product development, as well as to just round out sales and marketing. So we are actively talking with people about that. But again, we're thankful that we've been able to, you know, through all these years, we've been able to put together and run a very lean business that will achieve profitability and hopefully be around for a long, long time. Yeah, I mean, that's really the goal there, you know.
Awesome. So, I guess, like, as of now, you mentioned that you're burning. So is it more like, where are those expenses? Is that more like development costs, adding features to build out, like, out the app? Or because you mentioned you're not really spending on marketing right now. So really, where is most of your spend going as of now?
You know, we have our engineers, and it's interesting because when you look at what the work the engineers, if you look at the work they do, you know, a portion of that, of course, is working on features that we don't necessarily need right now, but they're investing in the future, you know. So our payroll, you know, in terms of our spend, our payroll is covered, right? So our current revenue covers our entire payroll, and that includes all the advancement, like we're working on Square gift cards, you know, to allow redeeming Square gift cards in app. You know, we just beefed up our analytics and our dashboards and statistics and things like that, you know. So there's investment in future features such as you know, digital wallet and things like that. So we're going to leave that just as is. The other spend really is, you know, we have an AWS expense. We have some other server expenses. You know, the advertisement, that gentleman, Chris, it's called Keys to the Shop. You know, we advertise there. Not big expenses, of course. And then the trade show, you know. So, right. You know, that's, you know, it's about $5,000 between the booth and in the airfare. I go to all the shows. I love right. going. I get a chance to talk to people. And as far as I see it, you know, no one really knows the product. No one really can understand the needs of these shop owners within the world of Espresso better than I can as of this moment. So I'm happy to go there. But yeah, I mean, so outside of really basic marketing, you know, it's advertising at some industry specialized podcasts, AWS and the other server expenses. You know, we use other engineering stacks and tools. Those things add up. And then our base payroll, which our team is currently 10 people. Outside of that, the beauty of running a software company is, you know, we don't have rent, you know, we don't have a storefront, we don't have brick and mortar. A big thing with dealing with coffee is that we exited delivery. So when we had the marketplace product, we naturally had to focus on delivery, and we had delivery drivers, and that came with all types of headaches and expenses. And what we realized is we became a logistics company, even though we didn't want to be. We wanted to be building software. And when you become a logistics company, you become a 24/7 customer support company. So we carried a lot of expenses relative to that burden. And I also realized that, you know, you can build beautiful software. You know, look at DoorDash, for instance. It's a beautiful product. But if a delivery driver goes and, you know, fails to get the food to its destination, all that product is trash in the eye of the customer. And that's really a very peaceful thing for me to know that, because we deal with coffee shops and it's only pickup, that entire logistics piece and the customer support piece is entirely gone. And then the other nice thing is, from a marketing standpoint, when we were a marketplace product, you know, that's a multi-sided marketplace, right? You need to market to the shops and you need to market to the hungry people. And it was hard. Like, how do you, you know, we learned that you need literally endless venture capital money to even try that game. So for what we do now, we don't spend any money marketing to the customer that's drinking the coffee. We just give some basic tools to the shops. They know what they're doing. They know how to reach their people, whether it's Instagram or whatever. And then Square has so many amazing marketing tools. They can just dial right into their customer base. And so we've offloaded all that. And, you know, it's nice to, we have a very clean engineering stack. You know, it's very much all about, you know, uptime and shipping different features, which I love because, you know, I'm an engineer and it's fun. It's really fun. So, and then, you know, the fact that people order every single day is, not something I expected out of the gates, but the fact that that happens, it's very pleasant, and we enjoy doing it. So that's basically
awesome.
That's our spend. It is what it is. And, we're very, I say calm, cool, collected. You know what I mean? We're dealing with coffee. You know, we're not dealing with, transporting organs or something of a real serious matter.
Makes sense. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you launched this company?
I would say without a doubt, it just be careful in terms of distractions in the form of, hey, why don't we do browser-based ordering? And why don't we do, hey, we'll tell them we'll be social media experts for them, and we'll do this and we'll do that. The reason why I say that isn't because people can't figure all these things out. It's more just that, you know, we manage mobile apps. That's it. We do iPhone apps, Android apps, and you're trying to move forwards, and you have to always know things are going to break. You know, things are just, Apple's going to come back to you and say, you need to do this update, or, you know, there's going to be updates that need to get done that kind of fall outside of anything that you could have really predicted. You know, these are things that you didn't control. And when you start spreading yourself out, and then each of those projects that you're working on has its own requirements of updating, you just get buried, and then everything degrades and you have nothing. There's really nothing of any quality that people really want. Like I know these apps, like if these shops didn't have their apps, it would be a big problem.
For sure.
We're not just some like ancillary service. We're a core service.
Correct.
So the biggest thing I would just say, you know, find something and be really good at that thing. Don't get distracted by all the people on LinkedIn. It's constantly raining down on you that you need to do more, or that you need to be selling more, or that you need to do more. There's just a general sense of it's a general sense of chaos out there, and it's dangerous inside of a company. So, you know, for us, we isolate ourselves inside our little laboratory, and we don't get distracted. It's my job to make sure the team isn't distracted, because we were distracted before when we had the marketplace app. Again, we were logistics. We had delivery drivers. You had to onboard them. You got background checks. And we had pickup orders and mobile apps and web ordering. It was a good experience, but there was never a moment of any peace.
Makes sense.
Peace is nice.
Yeah, for sure. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your company website or just best way to get in contact with you?
The best way would just be to go to our website. It's espressly.co, which is espressly.co. There's a form on the homepage. That form, you know, whether you're a coffee shop owner or someone else, it will prompt you, and, you know, it'll ask you what you use for point of sale and all that. So generally, if somebody wants their app, like, hey, get me an app. There's no setup fee. Let me check it out. We just tell them to fill that form out, because it gives our team, you know, what we need on the intake side of things.
Awesome.
And if there's anybody else out there, whether you're an investor, or you're an engineer, or you're somebody that just is curious, you can email me. My email is joe@espressly.co. It's always great to hear from people, whether they're in the coffee space or not. And that's really it.
Awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much for your time today, and we're rooting for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me on here. And I'm looking forward to staying in touch with you and seeing where the world brings us, of course.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.